to the disciples who are about to walk into a season of great tribulation and difficulty and persecution and confusion as Jesus is about to be crucified. And Jesus gives them this gift. He says, "My peace I give to you." Well, you can open your Bibles, if you like, to the book of Colossians. We'll have a look at Colossians chapter 2. I've been working my way through really slowly 1 Kings at the moment and reading about the life of Solomon. And as Solomon, as a young man on the throne, came before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm just like a child. I need wisdom to know how to govern. I need your help to rule as king. Give me wisdom." And the Lord spoke to him in a dream, and he was so pleased with Solomon's request. He said, "You've asked me for wisdom to administer justice. So I'm not only going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches and wealth and peace." And we see then the wisdom that Solomon walked in was so extraordinary. People would come from all over the world to sit and listen to Solomon's wisdom. It says that Solomon, he had wisdom and knowledge. He was able to talk about animals and trees and birds. He had knowledge from God, the wisest man who ever lived, because it was the gift of God, wisdom. And this wisdom was given to Solomon in the time when Solomon's reign was completely, he was at peace. The whole kingdom was at peace. There was no war going on, and he was living in peacetime and operating in wisdom. And I've found that often when we're in a time of rest, where we're not in crisis and battle and war, but we're actually at rest, we have space to think lofty thoughts, God thoughts. We have time to think creative thoughts. I notice when Tom, he's at home and we're not in a season of travel, he starts to get creative, and I find he's down the back creating a rainforest or creating a garden or making something. And I say, "What are you making?" He'll say, "You'll see." And I'm like, "Oh, this will be interesting. Hallelujah." And he comes up with creative ideas when he's got a bit of space. And I've found that myself, that when I've got a bit of space, I can start thinking creative thoughts. But you know, God's heart for us is that you and I would live in peace. I've discovered that when you study wisdom in the Bible, it is intimately connected with a heart that is at peace. Wisdom and peace go together. And I love how the Lord speaks to the disciples in the book of John 14. He says, "Peace I leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid." He gives this magnificent gift of peace to the disciples who are about to walk into a season of great tribulation and difficulty and persecution and confusion as Jesus is about to be crucified. And Jesus gives them this gift. He says, "My peace I give to you." You know, peace is not about everything being right on the outside, there not being no dramas or no crises. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And in him, we have this invitation to come into the place of living in peace, supernatural peace, peace that passes understanding, peace that doesn't make logical sense, but peace that is solid on the inside. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, we read, "The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." There's this Glorious peace available to those who know they've been reconciled to God, to those who know they've been forgiven, to those who know that no matter what happens, I get to live in heaven forever with my Father. Yay! Live or die, I win, because He has rescued me and He has given me eternal life. Hallelujah! That He's gone to prepare a place for me. I have this glorious assurance that having repented of my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I don't have to be afraid of being ashamed. I don't have to be afraid of being judged, because He took my judgment. He took the penalty. He took the punishment. And I have been set free and given the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has made me the righteousness of God in Christ. That I have been given the privilege of being joined to Him, part of His body. He's in me and I'm in Him. The one who is perfectly holy lives on the inside of me, and I live on the inside of Him, and He calls me perfectly holy and perfectly righteous, not by my works, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His blood, because of His sacrifice, I have been made clean. I haven't just been covered, I've actually been redeemed and renewed and given a clean heart. And the fruit of actually believing that is peace. It is quietness and assurance, where it's like, I don't have to be concerned. Like, what can man do to me? It really doesn't matter. This life is like a breath compared to all of eternity, where I am already seated with Him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I don't have to be afraid of my future, because this is what my future is. I get to live in heaven forever, where there is no trouble, there is no lack, there is no tear, there is no pain. Yay. That's a good future. So you don't have to be afraid of your future either if you are in Christ. Hallelujah. So this beautiful, I love that verse, the fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Hallelujah. But let's have a look at this verse in Colossians chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 3. It's speaking of the mystery of God, speaking of Christ, the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Emily was reading this verse this morning. We come out in the morning and we ask each other what we're all reading. And it was so interesting. I'm reading about the wisdom of Solomon, and she's reading in Colossians about all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. They are in Him. And you and I are in Him. Hallelujah. And He's in us. It's a glorious thing. You and I have been made one with Him. Christ in me, the hope of glory, is not just a saying, but something He wants you to understand. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3 that you would be strengthened with might in your inner being by His Spirit, so that you would be able to comprehend Christ dwelling in your heart through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend the love of God that passes knowledge, the height, the depth, the width, the breadth. It's not just the love of God that needs to be comprehended by the power of His Spirit giving you strength. It's this revelation of Christ in you, Christ dwelling in your heart through faith, thinking about what that is. Christ, who is my peace, lives inside of me. And from this place of peace, God wants me to experientially lean into it and experience the reality of peace in my everyday life. when you're in a place where you're in constant survival mode, in battle mode, and you're constantly just in a warfare, in a battle, and you're always going from crisis to crisis, you actually don't have time to think lofty thoughts. You don't have time to think great thoughts of increase and more of what God wants to do and the promises of God and exploring what's in God's mind, what's God thinking. You're just in survival mode. But God never created us to live in survival mode. He called us to live above the storm, above all the circumstances. Like an eagle, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. I went out for a walk the other day, and I have my prayer time in the morning with the Lord. I love to every day come before the Lord. I bring my people, my issues, my life, and I put it on the altar, knowing that every time someone in Scripture built an altar and brought things to the Lord responded with blessing. And so I bring it all to the Lord and believe in faith He's going to respond in blessing. I wage war with the prophetic words spoken over me. I make my prayers and requests with thanksgiving, and I pray and I read the Bible. The Bible will nourish you. It'll help you. It'll feed you. It'll encourage you. Read it. Listen to it. Read it. Feed on the faithfulness of God. Let Him nourish you with the Word of God. But then, I like to then in the afternoons, if I can, get out when the birds are starting to sing and the cool of the evening. And I get outside and I walk and I talk with the Lord. Just like Adam and Eve did in the cool of the evening. God still walks and talks with people. Hallelujah. And I was out walking the other day and just talking with the Lord and just worshiping Him and enjoying His presence, being aware of His presence. There's something beautiful when you've gone beyond the needs and the requests, which we always have, and He always wants us to bring to Him. But then to be able to just take time to enjoy His company. And I was talking with Him and I saw a rainbow in the sky. And I was like, oh God, that's lovely. It was only there momentarily. It was like it was just there for me. And I remembered the full circle rainbow that I'd seen not so long ago from up in the aeroplane. Because if you're above the horizon line, you get to see that rainbows are not just half arcs, they're actually full circles. We just can't see it when we're on the earth because it's cut off by the horizon. But sometimes if you're really high at a high altitude, you can see the full circle. And the Lord had spoken to me about this full circle rainbow, reminding me that the rainbow is a picture of promise and that He has us surrounded. We're completely surrounded by His promises. And so I saw the rainbow and I was like, oh, yes, God, thank you. I'm surrounded by Your promises. You've got me covered. I don't have to be afraid of anything. And that was beautiful. And then I was listening and talking with the Lord and I felt Him. I could feel and hear that familiar, kind voice. And it's the sound of His voice. So the Bible talks about the sound of His voice being like many waters. Well, for me, the sound of His voice just resonates in my heart and brings instant refreshing. That, oh, wow. I'm not just hearing You speak to me through the Word. I'm hearing You speak. I'm hearing Your voice resonate on the inside of my heart. Anybody know what that sounds like? It's a beautiful thing. And I began to hear Him speak and provoke me into, what would you like to believe for this year? What do you want to see happen this year? And He was provoking me to start remembering the promises, the dreams that He'd put in my heart from long ago. And I began to think, yes, Lord, oh God, yes, I want to see this and I want to see that. And, I discovered afresh that the lofty thoughts, the high thoughts, the thoughts that come from His throne come in a time when we are at rest, when we are in peace. Psalm 131 says, Lord, my heart is not haughty nor my eyes lofty, neither will I trouble myself with weighty matters or things too great for me. Surely like a weaned child I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Hope in God, Israel. And I love that little psalm because what it's saying is when you find yourself getting all caught up with stuff you can't understand and you're stressing out about trying to find issues and trying to find solutions to problems and you can't think straight because you got all worked up trying to work out why God, why, when, God, when, how, God, how. The psalmist says, surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. And it's like a picture of a child that can sit on a mother's lap without the need to have something, but I can just sit here and receive comfort. I can just sit here and feel safe. Hallelujah. I love it when my grandsons, I get to hold my grandson and he puts his head down and has a cuddle. I'm like, oh, he's lovely. And this is what God wants for us, to recognize, hey, come here. Just put your head on my chest. Let's have a cuddle. And in that place, the psalmist suddenly says, hope in God, everybody. Because he is renewed, he is refreshed in the place of rest in him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the scripture says. But if you have a look at that little word through there, in the Strong's, you'll see it means positioned at rest. I can do all things positioned at rest in him. Hallelujah. Because in him, suddenly my strength is restored. Suddenly my hope gets rebirthed. Hallelujah. And that it's from that place that the anointing flows. You see, God is looking to move in great power. He wants to give you the mind of Christ. He wants you to move in great wisdom. He wants to download thoughts from the throne, strategies, ideas you haven't had before. He wants to move through you in power to heal the sick. But all of that power flows from the place of intimacy and rest. Hallelujah. Think about Jesus in the boat when the storm was going on. What was he doing while they were all freaking out? He was at rest. And there's a storm going on. So they go wake him up and he goes, they say, don't you care that we're dying? And Jesus goes, huh? Oh. Peace. Be still. And what he has on the inside, he releases on the outside. And for me, that's such a perfect picture of what you and I are called to do. As we come into that place of rest, God wants to release that power through us that comes from being at rest in him. You know, sometimes I get so busy that I get a bit frazzled, especially when I was a young bride and we'd be having someone come over for dinner or something. I'd be like, not very fun to be with before they arrived. Because I'm ordering everybody around, pick that up, do that, do that, because I was frazzled. So after a while, I realized I'm not fun to be with when I'm in this state. So I would take a couple of minutes and I'd close my bedroom door and get on the floor just for a couple of minutes and go back to the place of rest. Okay, where are you? There you are. Oh, hello. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I remember. And I come out and I'm much more fun to be with. There's still the things that need to be done, but the things that get done can be done from a place of peace and joy. Hallelujah. And there is much more accomplished from the place of peace and joy than there is from the place of stress and frazzle. And I still do that when I'm going from meeting to meeting. I'll often take a moment and just close the door and get on the floor. I love you, Lord. And it's not even a, quick, tell me what to do. It's a, I just need a minute. There you are. Because in His light, I see light. I come back to the perspective of heaven that nothing matters. I get to live forever in heaven. So whatever it is we have to deal with right now, it's small fry. It doesn't matter how big it might seem on the earth from heaven's perspective. It's like, I have everything I need, the mind of Christ, the wisdom of Christ to deal with everything that comes my way. I can draw from the one in whom I live and move and have my being and believe and expect that out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. I had a meeting recently that was coming up, and for a few days I was like, oh, why am I even having to have this meeting? This isn't my problem. This is somebody else's problem. Oh, no, no. And I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking about it as I'm going to sleep and thinking, oh, they should do this. And oh, no, no, no. What am I going to say? I don't even want to have to say anything to them. And working myself up. Have you ever done that? You're just working up. Until finally I resigned to myself to the reality, I can't cancel it. So coming a long way, so I'll just have to do this meeting. So that morning I went, thank you, Father. You give me everything I need for everything you asked me to do. Let me look at you. Ah, there you are. Ah, oh, I love you. Yes, Lord. Thank you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege. And I thank you, Lord. I ask for wisdom. I thank you for wisdom. I still didn't know what I was going to say. Man alive. When they arrived and we started, I listened. I opened my mouth and I thought, I was impressed with myself. And that was a brilliant answer. What a brilliant solution. I told Emily afterwards, I was really good. I had a brilliant solution to that problem. But I knew, of course, and I told her as well, that that was not something that I had. It certainly didn't come from my head. It came from the wisdom of heaven when I got into a place of peace. When I got into the place of, hey, stop being...